Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Text for our meditation this morning comes from our gospel lesson, John chapter 11, verses 45 to 53. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him, but some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. What are we accomplishing? They asked. Here is this man performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and then the Romans will come and take away both our temple and our nation. Then one of them, named Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, spoke up. You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish. He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. This is our text. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people, because all have sinned. Genesis 5:3. When Adam was 130 years old, he became the father of a son who was just like him in his very image. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Ezekiel 18:20. The soul that sins, it shall die. Hebrews 9:22. The law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There it is in a nutshell. Almost since the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, it has been the story of sin. Our sin, our rebellion against God, our willful disobedience to his commands. And spiritually speaking, it has never gotten any better. Since Adam, sinners have only produced sinners. And sinners have only continued to do sinful things. Paul points out in the first chapter of his epistle to the Romans that the fact of our sinfulness is only getting worse and worse day by day. As sinners, we can't stop our sinning. And because of our sinful nature, we don't want to stop our sinning. So it all looked rather hopeless for us. But we need to go back to Adam and Eve. Almost immediately after they committed that sin, God said this to them, Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity, the word means hostility or warfare. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. he shall fatally bruise your head, but you shall only bruise his heel." Those words are called the first gospel promise. It was an assurance to Adam and Eve. It was a promise to them that God would one day send a Savior, the seed of a woman, who would come and defeat sin, and even more, make it possible for sinners to be restored to fellowship with God. One day, God would step into our world and bring that promised Messiah for all people. Galatians 4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. John chapter 1. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. 1 Corinthians 5. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. 1 John chapter 1. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. By one man, Adam, sin entered into our world. One man, Jesus, would be sacrificed for all the sins of the world. The sin that infected all people would be taken away, would be washed away by that one perfect sacrifice. It's why God sent us his Son. Jesus came for that express purpose, to suffer death. Death on the cross, so that all could be forgiven of all their sins. In our gospel lesson for today, we have that account of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. When Jesus arrived on the scene, we understand that Lazarus' body had already been in the grave for 4 days. When Jesus stood in front of that tomb, we have that shortest, yes, most profound verse probably in Scripture. Jesus looks at that tomb when he sees the results of sin. He weeps. We all know what it's like to lose a loved one to death. We have all stood in that spot where Jesus stood that day. We have all experienced that same sorrow, and it has moved us to tears also. But how different that day must have been for Jesus. For him to come so confronted with the results of sin, the consequences of sin in the lives of his people. It was not supposed to be that way. Death was not to be part of his creation. And so standing there, Luke writes that he groaned deeply. He tells us that he was troubled in his spirit, and he wept. He raises his head and cries out, "Move the stone." Martha reminds him, "Lord, that might not be a good idea. He's been dead for 4 days already." But Jesus continues and commands Lazarus, "Come out." And at those words, Lazarus walks out of the tomb, still buried in burial cloth. Jesus quickly tells those around him, "Unwrap him and let him go." miracle. The last great miracle he would show the people, a sign to them, so that they would understand and know and believe who he really is and why he had come. At that point, everyone should have realized that Jesus is the promised Messiah, the one sent from God. He confirmed that by his words. He confirmed it with his miracles. Everybody should have known from the beginning of his public ministry when John pointed him out at the River Jordan and declared, "Behold the Lamb of God." He would reinforce that throughout his public ministry by showing the people sign after sign after sign, reminding them, this is what you are to look for that will show you that the Messiah has come. He healed the sick. He cured the lepers. He restored sight to the blind. He enabled the lame to walk. And now, he even raises the dead. Everyone saw the signs. Everyone should have known who he was and why he had come. Our text gives us their response. Some of them believed, but there were others. They see the sign, and they run off to the Pharisees to tell them what Jesus just had done on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees are now forced into a position where they've got to do something about Jesus. They have a meeting. What are we going to do? What are we going to do about Jesus? We can't let him go on like this. We can't let him continue to be working miracles like this. And if we don't stop him now, everyone's going to believe in him. And if that happens, then we're going to lose everything. Enter Caiaphas, the high priest. And he offers them this solution to this Jesus problem. He tells them, don't you understand that it's better that this one man die rather than the whole nation perish? Save the temple. Save the nation. Offer up Jesus as the scapegoat. The plan is put into place. A plan to sacrifice one person in order to save the nation. They didn't realize that's exactly what God had intended to happen. Even though they made their plans in wickedness, God's will was still going to be accomplished. Man's evil does not undo the will of God. Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed. The religious leaders that day were just trying to preserve the status quo. Caiaphas unknowingly pushed them along the path that God had already determined. They plotted evil, but it turned out to be exactly what God wanted to happen. One man should die, but not just for the nation, but for all people. God's will be done. One man dies for the people. That's what Lent is all about. Jesus dying for all the people. no greater love has ever been seen. One man, Jesus, God's Son, the promised Savior, dying for all people. That's a picture of the depth of God's love for us. That His Son came and died for us while we were still sinners. We need to remind ourselves, for whom did Jesus die that day? He died for everyone. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus came and suffered and died on the cross of Calvary for a whole world of sinners, for each and every one of them. John 3:17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. That was the purpose. That was the intent. That was the goal. That every person in the world be saved. Saved from wrath and punishment. Saved from death and condemnation. Jesus carrying the sins of all people of the world to the cross. There He suffered the wrath of God over the sins of all the people in the world. There God punished Him for all the sins of all the people in the world. And there He died because of those sins. His blood cleanses. Now there is available forgiveness. Forgiveness of all sin. Now there is hope. Now there is peace. And now by grace through faith, all people can be saved for eternal life. Jesus' resurrection guarantees that to all people. And God makes that salvation freely available to all people so that all people can be saved. So what was the purpose of Jesus dying on the cross? So that all people could be saved, right? But let's kind of look at that from another perspective. Let's think of it this way. Jesus died on the cross so that God wouldn't have to condemn anybody to eternal damnation. God says He takes no pleasure in the eternal death of even one sinner. It's not why He sent His Son. It's not why He punished His Son. That's not why Jesus suffered and died. It was all for that one purpose, so that everyone in the world could be saved. And that's the salvation that Jesus won on the cross for all people. And the amazing thing is that no one has to do anything to have it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to try and earn it. You don't have to live a good enough life to deserve it. God gives it to all people as a free gift. Mark 16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Do you remember the biggest fear the Jews had, the Sanhedrin had that day when they were making these decisions? Their big worry was that if we let Jesus go on like this, everyone will believe in Him. Boy, wouldn't that be something? If everyone believed in him. Wouldn't that be something if the church could figure out a way to make that happen in our world today? Maybe the church should get together, have a meeting, form a committee, and come up with a plan to see how they could make that happen. That's probably not going to happen. Our Old Testament lesson gave us one point that I think the church needs to consider. What all those dry, dead bones, and what was the prophet told to do? Speak the word of God. Those words are life. We see in our world today the darkness, the sinfulness of life in this world. We need, as the church, to make sure that we are speaking a clear message of God's love to this world. Paul says that word is the power of God unto salvation. We saw in the Old Testament lesson the power of that word that brought the dead back to life. So that's one thing with the church ought to make sure that we're doing in this world today. But there's another hint for us in the book of Acts, chapter 2. It reads like this, Acts 2:42 and following. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And chapter 2 ends with these words, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Do the first things first. Proclaim the word. Live the word. Be devoted to worship. Be devoted to Bible study. Be devoted to communion. Be devoted to prayer. Be devoted to fellowship. Be devoted to loving and caring for one another. Be devoted to the brothers and sisters in the faith. Be devoted to your neighbor and his needs. Be devoted to caring and loving even your enemy. The result will be God adding more and more those who are being saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son to save the world through him so that everyone could believe. And wouldn't that be wonderful? Amen.